Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. It's present day in Turkey. Ali is a successful young man with everything going his way. He's a U.S.-educated professor at an Ankara university, a beautiful wife who wants to start a family, and their own home on a large plot of land. But his job is precarious, his sperm rate is low, and his home is in the middle of a desert with not enough water even for his garden. And then there's his parents. Ali is convinced his father is beating his mother, and when she dies in a fall, he suspects she was murdered. So when a drifter appears on his doorstep, he wonders if this strange man could solve all his problems, both as a field hand and someone to help him murder his dad. The Things You Kill is a new psychological thriller that explores family secrets, rivalries, and government corruption. The film deals with suspicion, vengeance, and intergenerational trauma while playing fantastical games with the audience's psyche and sense of reality. It's written and directed by award-winning Toronto-based filmmaker and academic Alireza Khatami. His first film, Oblivion Versus, won the Orizzonti and Fipreschi prizes at Venice, and this, his third feature, won the Best Director Award at Sundance and was Canada's entry for Best International Film at this year's Oscars. It opens this weekend in Toronto, and I'm very pleased to have Alireza here with me in Toronto via Zoom to tell us more about The Things You Kill. Hi, Alireza.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. Thanks so much for meeting with me.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, you're an Iranian-Canadian filmmaker, yet you chose to make a film that's essentially in language, location, and cast, a Turkish movie. Why?
We went to make the film in Iran, as this movie is mostly based on my own personal history. I wanted to be close to where I felt home. And make the film in Iran. However, the censorship office asked us to change the film significantly, and I refused. And as I am an indigenous person from southwest of Iran, and I speak a dialect of Turkish language, I thought Turkey would give me a great substitute to take the film there and execute the vision without any censorship. Plus, Turkey had an amazing actors, and it fit within the budget range we had, and it gave me the creative control that we wanted. And this was only possible because the film is a Canadian film, which allowed us to bring people from France and Poland as well on board, and this was quite a multinational creative collaboration. And the film is Canadian, but the language is in Turkish. You know, and the film is made in Ankara.
What aspects of the film itself would you say are Canadian?
The fact that this story is possible, that I am as a Canadian man living here, but I have come, I'm a newcomer here. I speak a different language. I have lived parts of my childhood and adulthood elsewhere. This is truly Canadian in that sense. This is a land that we all come here, and we don't bring only our skills and get a migration visa. We also bring our stories. We also bring our insights and visions from all around the world. In that sense, this is truly a Canadian film.
Now, The Things You Kill is a number of plot lines with diverse characters, but I think at the center of the film is the anger and rivalry between a father and his only son. So talk about the relationship between Ali and his father, Hamid.
I think at the heart of the film is lack of communication. At the heart of the film is a crisis of masculinity. You know, at the heart of the film is a patriarchal society which has produced a certain agency for the men who are unable to say what hurts them. That causes the father and son to go head to head and clash, you know. And this is a continuation of the Abrahamic tale of the killing of the son. However, here it's reversed. So it is killing of the father.
And at one point, Ali's sister says to Ali, "You're just like your father." Why is that the worst possible insult?
Because, he flings because he went to the United States and he read a couple of books and he washes dishes at home. He's a feminist and he doesn't have to work on himself anymore, right? He has come strategically away from his father, but at the heart, he's a man with the same crisis of masculinity. So when the sister calls him, "You're just like your father," it is his worst nightmare coming true. This is a story of a man who dares to look in the mirror and for the first time see who he is.
So another principal plot line that intersects with the other one is about a mysterious drifter who shows up at his door in his desert home offering his services. Now, Ali and Reza dress similarly. They're more or less the same height and build and strength and manner, almost interchangeable. But Ali seems to be naive and insecure, while Reza is more cynical, dark, maybe more confident, maybe stronger, maybe, I don't know. So what is the relationship between these two strangers? Talk about the...
We are all multifaceted human beings. We have, believe, multiple masks, multiple personalities. You know, Reza for me is that side of us which always have an answer for everything, and is not willing to think on a complex level because that's very uncomfortable. That's a very masculine side of us. Things that they think. Just, I want to, solve the problem with muscle. Look at the war right now in the Middle East. That's an extension of that, you know. That's exactly the extension of the same logic, right? So when Ali faces the death of his mother, cracks in his own narrative appears. His narrative is very simple. I've been a good boy, you know. I'm feminist. I'm good. I take care of the woman in my life. I'm good. And as soon as the mother dies, he realizes that narrative is not enough. And through the cracks, Reza emerges, the drifter. And the drifter tells him, "Don't worry, I'm going to protect your story. I'm going to protect your narrative. But more female narrative come forward." The sister tells the story. The aunt tells the story. The mistress tells the story.
And the father's point, mistress. Yeah.
And the father's mistress tells the story. And, and this completely shatters Ali's narrative. And now he has to build a new narrative. One that is not simplistic. One that is complex. That's why his mother used to say, "I don't like riddles. I don't like bedtime stories. I like riddles." Right? Ali has to learn to live with the riddle that is life. You don't have answers for everything.
So I don't want to get deeply psychological, but Ali and Reza as the main character and the drifter, and your name is Ali Reza. Is this a self-examination of your psyche?
When I was right, definitely it is. It is me looking at myself. But when I was choosing the names, at first it was a joke for me, and I thought nobody would look at it. But now everybody is the first one to pick it up. You know, it's fun. And as an artist, I'm very mischievous. I love to push things around a little bit, push the audience to the edge a little bit. And this was one of those fun things I throw in for the audience to have material to build their own interpretation.
This is Daniel Garber on CIUT 89.5 FM, and I'm speaking with Ali Reza Khatami about his new film, The Things You Kill. So your film starts out as a more or less a straightforward, realistic social drama, but somewhere along the way, it shifts into something totally different. I don't want to give any spoilers away, but you can talk about as much as you want. But is it fairy tale or surreal, or like, how would you describe the less than obvious, less than realistic aspect of the film?
I call it actually ultra realistic. This, to me, this is realistic. You know, when we watch 15 Ways to Lose Your Boyfriend, you know, romantic comedy, that to me is naivete. That's not how life works. To me, this is how life works. So I will call it maybe hyper-realistic. That's not a correct term to say, but just to take a stab at it. So what I wanted to do, I knew that if I start right away in that domain, audience will be alienated completely. So I thought, what if I ask the audience to come on board, take them on a journey, show them who these characters are, what these lives are, and once they are invested, completely invested, I pull the rug from beneath them. Then they are 10 seconds completely oriented, and they have this decision now. Should I leave the cinema, or should I sit? And if they sit, then they have given me the consent to take them to uncharted territories.
And
it is, and we go there.
Yes, it was definitely uncharted territory. I was at first, I was like, okay, wait a minute. What? It took me quite a while to figure out what I was watching partway through. Again, no spoilers, but when listeners see this movie, they'll know what we're talking about.
I think it is a movie that designed for people who want to experience this kind of thrill and excitement of the intellectual order. You sit there because you want to find your own capacity of interaction and interacting with a movie, right? Those movies excite me. Those movies that take me seriously and challenge me, those are exciting films for me.
The title of the film in English is The Things You Kill, Not The People You Kill. So yeah. What are some of the things that are killed over the course of the film? I'm thinking like trust, morality, honesty, decency.
Mm-hmm. You are on the same path, but I think the most important thing is the simple narratives we kill. Simple narratives are dangerous. Simple narratives are extremely costly for all of us, you know? This is the simple narratives that ended up with residential tragedies, residential school tragedies, because we sold ourselves a simple narrative, you know? So those are the ones we have to kill.
Looking at the script of your movie, you might call this film noir with murder, suspicion, secrets, betrayal, but almost the entire film takes place under the bright, sunny skies and without the traditional, you know, soundtrack that makes you, oh, I'm scared, you know, foreboding soundtrack. So is this part of your hyper-realism? Like, why did you put a dark story in such a bright setting?
So in the convention of noir, we use shadows to hide the monster so we can, you know, scare you. You know, it's an engagement strategy. We use sound to make it easy for you to engage. I thought, what if the core of it, you know, the core of a noir is an attempt for truth, right? I seek the answers. What if I keep the core and I stripped it away from all the fakeries? I show you there is no monster but the one in the mirror. And it's not the monster with ugly ears and, you know, scary eyes. It's a handsome reflection of you.
And finally, you're a professor at Toronto Metropolitan University, and there are a lot of scenes that take place at a university with students, interactions with students and administrators. Is this a case of art reflecting life, or is it totally fictional?
The fact that I am in a university, I work in a university. I know what the university bureaucracies are. So those were good examples to bring. But the most important thing for me was that we often portray intellectuals as the saints. These are the ones who don't do the crimes, right? The crimes only belongs to blue collar, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I wanted to reverse that. You know, I wanted to say, no, we are all long due a look at the mirror.
Thanks so much for talking with me.
Thank you so much, Daniel, for having me.
I've been speaking with Alireza Khatami about his new film, The Things You Kill, which opens in Toronto on March 20th. And I recommend you check out this movie. It's very good. This is Daniel Garber, The Movies, each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.